This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
In the ground floor apartment of a brownstone in the East 90s, at around 8:30, guests began to arrive for a moon-watching party being given by two young men just out of law school.
When three Americans headed toward the moon, and two of them landed and left the vessel to bounce around and collect rocks, they were watched on television by hundreds of millions of people back on Earth. And as that singular event took place, reporters from The New Yorker fanned out across the city to watch the people watching. Here are three accounts of that evening, published in The New Yorker in 1969.
The male guests, most of whom were young lawyers, were dressed in light-colored summer suits or in richly colored shirts. The ties were wide, but not flowery. The women, who seemed a few years younger, were in silky, bold patterned bell-bottom trouser suits.
Just 50 minutes from now, well within the hour, the moon is due to have visitors from another planet.
The guests sat down on a sofa, on chairs, or on a mattress, which had been brought in from a bedroom. Conversation about the moon landing was restricted to jokes or brief comments. Many people seemed to want something to happen that was more exciting than what could really happen.
It would be great if they found an animal, one man said.
We've seen everything in simulation. They might as well do it all in simulation, a girl said. Several people said they were not sure whether the CBS simulation of the lunar module being shown at that moment was real or not.
Hey, these furry claws coming down the ladder, someone said.
No, coming out of a crater, said a girl. A telephone in the next room rang, and a young man went to answer it. When he returned, Walter Cronkite was saying,
Commander Armstrong is about to pull the ring that will give us our first live television coverage from the moon.
The telephone rang again, and someone said, Oh, let it ring. But another man, after hesitating, went to answer it. The landscape of the moon appeared on the screen. The man announced,
There's a girl up at the corner who can't find the party.
The group was riveted to the screen in silence during Armstrong's descent to the ground. During his first steps and his first words, and during Colonel Aldrin's descent. Then there was some more joking.
When we find the first moon men, we'll have to decide which ones to support. The ones from the south or the ones from the north. We'll have to send military advisors.
On the sofa, a couple began talking about a girl named Margie. Suddenly, Armstrong emerged with amazing speed from the black shadow of the lunar module into the brilliant sunlight. There was a sigh from the group. Then it fell silent again for a moment.
There's something interesting in a crater here, Armstrong called out.
A girl who was sitting on the floor began to tell about a friend of hers who had married a nun. The nun was in the lecture course he was giving, she said. He had her out of her robes and married in 2 weeks, and a year later she had twins. On the screen, Aldrin was loping in a circle on the surface of the moon. The girl looked up at the screen and cried out, "Oh, I just don't believe it."
"I'm used to it already,"
a young man next to her said. When you get blasé about people going to the moon, you know you've changed.
Headquarters of the National Broadcasting Company in Rockefeller Center, the central control room was hot and stuffy, being packed with people in shirt sleeves. The controllers worked at two tiers of equipment-laden consoles facing a wall covered with a formidable array of monitors. In the center of it sat the director, Tony Missouri, a bald man wearing a headset and a pink shirt. Executives of the news division occupied the second tier, and the center of this tier was occupied by the executive producer of the space unit, James Kitchell, a bushy-haired man wearing a short-sleeved black shirt. The voice of Frank McGee said, "Neil Armstrong's on his stomach, feet first, coming out." Missouri shouted to a technician responsible for the superimposition of titles on the screen, "Set me up, first live picture from the moon, baby!" "Go to Houston," Kitchell said loudly. "And take it," Missouri cried. "Here it comes," Kitchell shouted. On the monitor appeared a ghostly, unclear yet unmistakable, black and white image of the lower portion of a heavily suited astronaut. The control room was filled with cheers and clapping. "The foot," Missouri cried. "Put first step on the moon," Kitchell ordered. And then he said, "Wait, he's not on the moon yet. So far, he's just on the footpad." "That's okay," Missouri objected. "After all, what's the footpad connected to?" "The shin bone," someone said. There was some technician laughter. Armstrong's foot could now be seen raised as he tried mounting the lowest rung of the ladder. And then his voice could be heard. "The surface appears to be very, very fine-grained. It's one small step. Take it! First step on the moon." Everything became very quiet in the control room as the ghostly figure touched what seemed like white rigging. It all looked like an old movie showing some frost-shrouded polar explorer standing by the bulwark of an icebound ship. "Start setting up a split screen with the White House and the lunar shots," Kitchell said. After a pause, he added, "It's unbelievable. Unbelievable." Armstrong's figure could be seen moving about the lunar surface as he tested his walk. He began walking with long, loping steps. "Look at that," Kitchell said, "galloping across the moon."
"Hello, Neil and Buzz. I'm talking to you by telephone from the Oval Room at the White House. And this certainly has to be the most historic telephone call ever made. I just can't tell you how..."
Then the president made his telephone call to the astronauts. The interchange went off the air, and for a few moments, before the television lights in the White House were extinguished, Mr. Nixon could be seen on the monitor disengaging a microphone he had about his neck. Donald Meany, a vice president of the NBC News division, remarked, "The picture is going everywhere in the world by satellite. I hear they're getting a great picture in Bucharest and in Belgrade. And you know, nobody has the inside track on seeing these pictures. The scientists in Houston, the president, all of us in this room, perhaps Serbian peasants, they're all seeing the same fantastic live pictures at the same time. Nobody any better than anybody else, really. Maybe that holds something pretty good for all of us."
In the Lincoln Bar at the corner of Lenox Avenue and 135th Street in Harlem, scarcely anyone was looking or listening when Armstrong placed his foot on the moon. A jukebox was blaring What the World Needs Now by the Sweet Inspirations. A man with his back to the television set and a highball in his hand was telling a group of his friends about a girl he had just treated to a huge Chinese dinner, who had declared on their way out of the restaurant that she now wanted a barbecue supper. "Man, I had to unload her," he said.
I didn't have enough left to put gas in my car. One of the customers reached out, touched him, and said, "Hey, buddy, they walk in on the moon." The man with the highball put down his drink and walked out of the bar. When Colonel Edwin Aldrin climbed down to join Armstrong, the jukebox in the corner had shifted to, "I'm going to Chicago, sorry I can't take you." The bartender went and turned off the jukebox.
"It's a little shadowy, but..."
"Hey, leave that thing on, man," a male voice yelled. "We ain't care about no moon."
"I do," the bartender said, "and there's a few other people here that do too."
"Well, damn," the man said. "I hope those whiteys never come back. They might just decide to stay there, too."
"Nah," a female voice said. "You can be sure the white man don't want to live up there. It's got no gold, it's got no silver, it's got no oil. And ain't that what whitey wants? He don't want no part of all that rock up there."
The man whose girl had demanded the barbecue came back and started telling another group his story.
"Be quiet," the barmaid said. "You're full of nothing but Seagram's gin, and I want to see the man walking on the moon."
"Oh, hush, with your moon," he replied. "You believe any of that wild stuff?"
"You keep your New York joy. I'm going to Illinois just as fast as I can. You New York women think you make a fool of any man."
From the archives of The New Yorker, published in July 1969, those pieces were written by Jonathan Schell, Thomas Whiteside, and Jervis Anderson. And they were read for us by Christine Renee Miller and Peter Gross.
WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.